Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Why is Kenny Pickett on this roster? No Jake Volnick, Nick Padone, hanging out with you guys till 11 here on 92.3 The Fan Overtime. Want to hear from you guys. Want to talk some ball tonight. Phone lines are yours at 216-474-0092. What a day it's been, huh? Welcome to the show, everybody. Parker Messick made his major league debut. That was a lot of fun. The way the Cleveland Guardians game ended, though. Not very fun. Justin Lott of Lockdown Guardians joining the show here in 40 minutes to talk all things Messick, all things guards. That's his boy. He loves Parker Messick. So that'll be a fun conversation in 40 minutes here on The Fan. But we're another day closer to the Cleveland Browns season finally starting. I'm excited for it. This preseason has taught us pretty much nothing, though. You know, Joe Flacco was named the team's starting quarterback earlier this week, kind of by default, right? Like, we were so excited for, at least I was excited for this four-man quarterback battle because of all the storylines that I thought it was going to propose to vets, the old man in Joe Flacco that took the Browns on a magic carpet ride in 2023, the reclamation project, could Kenny Pickett be this team's Sam Darnold? And then the two rooks, Dylan Gabriel, the smart computer-like brain that this organization really likes, and they thought so highly of him, they made him a third-round pick there in April's draft. And then Shedeur Sanders, the most polarizing fifth-round draft pick in the history of the NFL draft. And it kind of turned out to be the quarterback competition that wasn't, because Gabriel got hurt, Pickett got hurt first, and then Shedeur Sanders never really got many reps to begin with and found a way to hurt his oblique after a pretty baller preseason debut against the Carolina Panthers in week one. So by default, Joe Flacco was the starting quarterback. And I think that's the right decision. Like, the day that Joe Flacco signed, my big takeaway was 365 days too late. Why'd you let Joe Flacco out of that room, out of that building to begin with? And I get why. We don't need to hear from you guys on that, 216-474-0092, because everything last year was about Deshaun Watson and Ken Dorsey and tailoring quite literally the entire organization to make their $230 million fully guaranteed investment pay off. And that investment didn't pay off and probably never going to. So you bring Joe Flacco back, but we really have no answer as we sit here this evening on what the Browns' actual plan at quarterback is. We know the starter. We know the starter is Joe Flacco. But to me, that's not a plan. And I know the Browns think and they hope that they're a better football team than the three games that they won last year. They thought that was an aberration, and the talent on this roster will prevent something like that from happening again. I'm here to tell you, though, they might be the only people that think that, and they might be the only people that believe that. So you could hope that Joe Flacco, who's going to turn 41 years old by the time the Super Bowl is played this year, can replicate some of the magic that he was able to have against some pretty bad teams, by the way. In the back end of the 2023 season, and just hope that the rest of the roster finds its way in terms of the other four quarterbacks that exist. Or you could get real about this thing, right? And that's kind of what I'm ready to do this evening with you guys. Is I think it's time for a real conversation and just some real questioning as to what's the plan here? And if anybody could help me find it, that's the journey that we're on together this evening. I would love nothing more than to identify what the plan is here right now for this season. Because when you had Joe Flacco come back to that one-year agreement, you had already went out and made the trade for Kenny Pickett. So you had two vets come time for the NFL draft. And everybody thought that they were going to take a quarterback. Seemed like the consensus was Travis Hunter was going to be the number two overall pick. That ended up being Mason Graham. And you were going to find a QB in the second round. There was a lot of Tyler Shuck hype leading up to the draft. You guys remember that? There was a good deal of Shedeur Sanders fans. There was prop betting markets out there for people to place wagers on. The Shedream, which would have been Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter both finding their way to Cleveland. But none of that happened. Instead, you went into the draft with your two veteran quarterbacks, Joe Flacco and Kenny Pickett. And then you found a way to exit that draft with two more quarterbacks in Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders. So right there, things were confusing. And I somehow, months removed from the NFL draft, still don't really have answers as to what's the game plan here. And to me, there's an odd man out. I don't think you could cut your draft picks. You know, I get that Dylan Gabriel has had a pretty bad camp, but he saved himself, right, in the court of public opinion because he played well in the preseason game. I get that the pick six happened and he lost the fumble. Listen, that's a third-round rookie quarterback for you. Shedeur Sanders, I mean, he's so just the last name alone. You're not cutting him, whether he's a fifth-round pick, whether you would have sat there and waited with your sixth or seventh-round pick. Like, you ain't cutting Shedeur Sanders, especially not after what he showed you against the Carolina Panthers. So that leads me to my odd man out, and that's Kenny Pickett. And I know some people might feel some kind of way about that, because with Joe Flacco being 40 years old, if something were to happen, and it usually happens with the Browns, we could be honest about that, usually takes us 4 or 5.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Of QBs to get through a 17-game season. You would think that Pickett could maybe be a security blanket, but I don't know. How am I supposed to know that? Because the guy has practiced in 11-on-11 four times, five times. It's not enough. Simply not enough. Whereas I've seen it on the field with Dylan Gabriel. And do I have concerns about the height? Absolutely. And we're going to jump into all of that later in the program. And I've seen it with Shedeur Sanders, and I think the ceiling on Shedeur certainly exceeds any of the QBs on the roster. So what are we doing with Kenny Pickett at this point? Kevin Stefanski said in his press conference today that Kenny didn't practice in 11-on-11s. He will not play in Saturday's preseason finale against the Los Angeles Rams. So what are we doing here? Like in order to be a reclamation project, you've got to reclaim yourself. And Pickett isn't going to get the opportunity to do that to start the season. And as things progress, I really have my questions as to, are you just wasting your time with that? And I get that they like him. And I guess I got to respect that because Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry know a lot more about football than I do, right? That's why they're in the big glass offices in Berea and I'm in this big glass studio downtown Cleveland, because those are the guys that get paid to make the football decisions, and they like Kenny Pickett. But you haven't seen him. You've got two rookie quarterbacks, and the elephant in the room here is that you've got two first-round picks next year. And to me, at least, this season should be about finding out if you need to use those first two first-round picks next year and go get your QB of the future. In order to answer that question, I need to find out what Shedeur Sanders is about. I don't know that I could go out there and draft Arch Manning or Drew Aller or Nussmeier or Klubnik or Sellers before I've really gotten a look at Shedeur Sanders. And the organization thinks very highly of Dylan Gabriel, so they would probably tell you, well, we need to get a look at Dylan Gabriel too. There's only one football. Traditionally, only one quarterback plays at a time. Now, maybe they try something different a couple weeks into the season where Flacco's the throwing quarterback and Pickett's the running quarterback. You know, high school football is a big deal in Ohio. I've seen plenty of high school teams try that in my day. I'm not sure that that works in the National Football League. Want to hear from you guys this evening. 216-474-0092. Let's head out to Adam, who's got some thoughts on this Browns quarterback situation. Adam, what's up? You're first up here on The Fan.
Yeah, I think that they went into the draft, fumbled whatever plan there is because somebody got talked into Gabriel. And then since then, the plan has completely shifted and they're going by the seat of their pants at this point. Or else what other logical sense would it make to take those individuals and then gain your first-round picks next round? So I think the pick moving forward that they painted themselves into a corner is that they are going to start Flacco, get the offense together, transition to Sanders, and eat the crow when they drafted a third-round quarterback that's shorter than me.
Adam, just doesn't it seem like to you, though, like they really like Dylan Gabriel and they really like Kenny Pickett? Like when they talk about Kenny Pickett, they certainly seem disappointed that this injury happened. And we know that Dylan Gabriel was their guy because they drafted him first.
Yeah, but I think that I got to imagine there's some draft room situations where somebody like Andrew Berry says, give me my shot. Like, I know that this group may not all agree. Give me my shot. I'm taking this guy. And then you see the proof in the pudding. And granted, I know we haven't seen a lot of them, but I think that it can't be an aligned organizational selection. Again, that's me just being skeptical. And I think the Kenny Pickett thing from a PR perspective, what else are you going to say? Because depending on injuries, Flacco, things of that nature, you need to be able to back your guys up front no matter what you're really thinking as you're laying in bed, you know, being honest with yourself.
For sure. Adam, appreciate the call. Appreciate you hopping in tonight on Overtime. I think he makes a good point there. Like, I do think they had to have had some sort of a plan, right? And the plan had to have gotten lost somewhere. Can we all at least agree on that? I know people have some polarizing opinions one way or another about this QB situation, whether you're a Shedeur guy, whether you're a Dylan Gabriel guy, whether you just want to see the old man Joe Flacco get out there and ball. People got their opinions. But can we all agree that they had a plan going into this thing, and somewhere along the way, the plan got a little bit confused. The plan probably got deleted, and then deleted again, and then they returned a couple lines, and then they jotted down a new plan, and here we sit now with five QBs, And boy, do we have some questions. Gonna switch some gears because we did have a good bit of Cleveland baseball news as Parker Messick's debut is officially in the books for the Cleveland Guardians. It was a lot of fun, but it's time for an uncomfy conversation as we sit here at the end of August about is this season dead? 216-474-0092. It's Nick Padone with you guys until 11 on Overtime right here on The Fan. Nick Padone hanging out with you guys in for Jake Volnick here tonight on Overtime on The Fan. Parker Messick's debut was a lot of fun. It feels like we've found something here as a Cleveland baseball collective with starting pitchers in their debuts. I mean, geez, Parker Messick went out there and he balled out. That was a lot of fun. However, the way that the game ended, not very much fun. 6 2/3 innings for Messick, 7 hits, but only 1 run, 1 walk, 6 strikeouts. Of his 83 pitches, 56 of those were strikes. And I wanted to see the young man get a win so bad, but you could chalk it up to a Manuel Class A. No closer for our Cleveland Guardians, and Cade Smith blew it. And I know you could look at the box score, right, and say, look, you only scored 2 runs. You lose the game 3-2. Messick was almost as good as a kid could have been in his debut. You got to help the guy. You know, you got to score some runs. And that's been what's ailed this Guardians team all season long. We're sitting here 64-62. I want to hear from you guys this evening at 216-474-0092 asking the question, is this Guardian season dead? Could we put that out there? I mean, as we sit here tonight, the division should be curtains. You are now third place in the American League Central. You're 10 and a half games behind the Detroit Tigers. Curtains in the American League Central. But I know we were all kind of holding on to hope that they could sneak into the wild card. We were scoreboard watching the Yankees. I don't know that it's happening, guys. I really don't. And it pains me to say, you could never say they're dead until they're mathematically dead. And one thing about this organization is they do have a little bit of never say die to them, don't they? The fact that it feels like at any time they could win a couple ball games in a row, and we know how this American League is, where somebody slips up and you're right back in the thick of things. But as we sit here right now, FanGraphs gives the Cleveland Guardians a 15% chance at making the MLB postseason. I've lived in Cleveland my whole life, right? So I see 15% chance and I say, hey, it's better than a 0% chance. I've seen 0% chance to make the playoffs many a time. I'll take 15%. But this really has turned into a massive disappointment, especially because when you look at, you know, the percentages to clinch that wild card, even the Royals now have leapfrogged you with a 25% chance of making the playoffs. And it pains me the part of the schedule that this has all gone south. It felt like you had finally figured some things out. And you're really going to let the Miami Marlins do you in? The Atlanta Braves are a better team than what the record shows. That lineup's stacked, and I know we've noted on that a bunch over the last 3 nights, but the Arizona Diamondbacks, come on. They were one of the biggest sellers at the MLB trade deadline. These are the team NL teams you're letting do in, the 2025 Cleveland Guardians, and today, Emmanuel Class A is to blame, because if you had a closer, and a closer that was the second vote getter in the runner-up trophy last year, you win that game. You win that game 2-1. And we're sitting here this evening not talking about are the Guardians dead at 216-474-0090. No, we're talking about how good could Parker Messick be. We're talking about CJ Kafis delivering another run. Man, if he would have got up here a couple months sooner, and what could next year mean for Kafis and Manzardo, and could they potentially get DeLauder into the mix? You know, we would be having such a different conversation. I'm putting the blame for at least today's loss squarely on Emmanuel Clase. And this entire thing has been mismanaged, kind of from Jump Street. And there's no reason to rehash all of it. The Naylor trade, the Jimenez trade. But when the offense was bad early in the season, you needed to change something up. And then when the offense has slumped here recently, Kyle Manzardo can't be on a milk carton. He just can't be. I don't care what the stats say, the analytics, the laptop gang, I'm sure would hate what I'm saying. I'm about to tell you why the Cleveland Guardians aren't going to make the playoffs. And the analytics people, the baseball nerds that are out there, the laptop gang is going to get really mad. The Cleveland Guardians have the worst batting average in the MLB. And I know they'll tell you batting average doesn't matter. It's about OPS. I get that. I do. But when you've got a batting average as a team, as a collective, that's as bad as what the Cleveland Guardians have going, as bad as what they're putting out there on a nightly basis. Come on, man. You don't deserve October baseball if you can't even have a team that's hitting 250. 216-474-0092. The question this evening to me is quite simple, and that is this Guardian season dead? Is it cooked? Let's go out to Dre, who's in Cleveland. He's got some thoughts about this baseball team. What's going on, Dre?
Hey, man, all the points you hit, man, is right on the head. But the only thing I get frustrated with is because at the end of the day, how many times we going to keep rolling the dice with our farm players and all these rookies and new, you know, young guys and these owners never spending in the money? But at the end of the day, it's like a lot of the radio personalities, not you, but just in general, man, they praise this sorry organization for being one of the best, man. It's like, what are we basing this on? Being 500 every year or World Series titles? I thought, you know, the cream of the crop when you get judged for something is for winning titles and rings and stuff like that. They give this organization so much praise, man. Really, the best thing about our organization is the people who go out and find these players. And all we do is prime them and get them ready to go wear Boston and New York and L.A. uniforms. Like, I understand everybody. And then at the end of the day, around Christmas time, they'll start running Jose Ramirez and Stephen Kwan highlights to get you fired up and ready for the following season. Man, enough is enough, man. These dudes don't never take the blame, man. They never spend no money, and they talking about big market, small market. All of you guys are billionaires, man, so it's no excuse. Either get in the business and treat the fans to, like, do the fans right.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Spend some money or get out of the business. Forget a small market. You a billionaire. Ain't no big market, small market.
Dre, appreciate the call. I mean, appreciate you bringing the energy there on the guards. And to that, I don't have much of a response, right? They are at a bit of a disadvantage because of the market size. Major League Baseball is not like the NBA, not like the NFL. There is no salary cap. The fact that the Yankees last postseason ran out of three, and I hate to remind you guys, of Judge, Soto, and Stanton, and paid all of those guys very handsomely, that's why the Cleveland Guardians were unable to advance to the World Series last year. It was just JV versus varsity. The fact that the Yankees could afford all of those guys, it is a smidge unfair. And the Guardians are at a disadvantage because they are kind of multi 100 multi-millionaires playing a billionaire's game. And when you've got these big market teams like the Yankees and the Dodgers, it's hard for everybody else to compete. Another big thing of this season in specific that hurt them, the TV deal. It's not having the TV money. I mean, that's $50 million to $60 million annually that you're talking about. That's just lost. So forget about putting the, you know, peppers and onions on your hot dogs when you go to the stadium for the Stephen Kwan fund, you know, to pay the extra $2 or $3. Like, you gotta have everybody in that stadium adding peppers and onions onto their hot dogs in order to make up for that $50, $60 million that they lost in the TV contract. Major League Baseball is a bit of a mess. However, that doesn't excuse the fact to me as a fan, and you just heard it from Dre in Cleveland right there, like, you were 3 wins away from the World Series last year. Most organizations, I don't care if you're in the MLB, where it is very hard to compete. It's very hard to do business in Major League Baseball. I get that. Most other organizations, when you're 3 wins away, you go into that offseason and those front office people and ownership and coaching staff say, hey, we were 3 wins away from making it to the big dance. Let's push some chips into the middle here. Let's go for this. We've got a group. And to Dre's point, we do have a bit of a squad. It's not like this team is garbage. Jose Ramirez is going to have a statue outside of that stadium one day. Stephen Kwan is a guy that is talking about commanding $20 to $25 million annually once he becomes a free agent on the open market. This is not a team of scrubs. The starting rotation is leaps and bounds what it was from just a year ago. And you lost Luis Ortiz and Emmanuel Clase. I get the bullpen's taking a step back. But to me, the moves, or I should say the lack of moves from this offseason and then what we've seen transpire thus far this season, unacceptable. I'm disappointed to be sitting here today having this conversation about the Cleveland Guardians season potentially being over. I thought this was a season where, at bare minimum, we were going to get some semblance of October baseball. And as we sit here today with a 15% chance of that, I'm just not sure it's happening, guys. The host of Locked On Guardians, Justin Latta, has been pumped about Parker Messick for months. What did he think of the debut? Plus, does he believe that this season is dead? Justin Latta joins me on Overtime. It's Nick Pedone hanging out with you guys till 11 right here on The Fan. Parker Messick balled out today. We could, as annoying as today felt because of the blown save, because Kenny Pickett didn't practice and he's not going to play, and I'm so confused about these Browns quarterbacks, I'm starved for Cavs news. It wasn't a bad day. The sun is going to come up tomorrow because Parker Messick balled out. Justin Latta, Locked On Guardians, joining me here on the Fan Hotline. Justin, your boy, Parker Messick, had a really good debut. What'd you make out of it, man?
Yeah, it was about as good as a debut you could expect. I mean, I thought he pitched exactly like the prospect we saw in the minor leagues. And that's a real testament to him to come up and pitch like he was a veteran and didn't try to do too much, didn't try to pitch beyond what he can do. And that's hard to do in your debut, especially in that ballpark against a pretty good lineup.
Dude, you hit it. Like, it looked like he had 99 MLB starts under his belt, and today was start number 100. Had you never watched the sport of baseball before, you would have said, oh, this guy's definitely done this at the big league level before. For the fans that are out there that are not familiar with Parker Messick and his game and the minor league system, all that kind of stuff, what kind of arm is this long-term for our guards?
Yeah, I think Messick long-term is probably like a back of the rotation, maybe profiles as a number three at his best, but probably more like a 4 or 5. He's got two good pitches. Like, he's got good fastball command, and the fastball is tough to pick up due to his delivery, so he's got deception. And the changeup's really his bread and butter, too, so it's a really good pitch that he'll be able to keep right-handers off of him, and he can throw it to lefties as well. He really needs that third pitch. Like, the slider and the curveball didn't really do a whole lot for him in the minors, So he'll need to probably get some advancement out of those pitches. Maybe he can continue that development at the big league level. But he's got poise. He's got deception. He's got command and control. And he's got two really good pitches, especially in that changeup. So I think he'll profile pretty nicely as kind of a 3, 4, or 5. If he develops that third pitch, then definitely more of a 3.
A guy that I would like to see get some things figured out here in short order is Slade Ciccone. At one point a couple of weeks ago, this was a guy, Justin, that I really thought was the dude that I depended on the most in this entire starting rotation. The last two starts have been pretty bad. How does Slade get right this weekend?
He's going to have to throw more first pitch strikes the last couple of starts. He's gotten behind in the count, and he really just hasn't had a lot of feel or command, it looks like, for his breaking stuff. The curveball and the slider have been kind of his better pitches this year. And when he gets behind in the count, teams can sit on his fastball. And the same issue he had a year ago in Arizona before he even made changes in Cleveland was that his fastball, even though he could throw it 96, was a very hittable fastball. And when he's not commanding his breaking stuff here, then teams can sit on that fastball after they've been doing the last two starts. Because if you'll notice, he's not really walking guys, but he's being very hittable in the zone. And when you don't put yourself in good counts and you just have a hard time getting feel for your spin, guys don't have to really respect your off-speed stuff, and they could just go right for your fastball. So I think for him, it starts with throwing strike one, and it starts with having some sort of plan for making sure that you have a feel or a plan for your breaking stuff.
Justin, I want to go back to Parker Messick for just a second because I was just so encouraged by what I saw today. Platooning has kind of seemed to be the hot buttony word of this Cleveland Guardians season as we're talking about the batting order, but it feels like that last starting pitcher spot, they've just tried everything between the Cantillos of the world and now Parker Messick. But after we saw what we just saw this afternoon and into the evening, there's no way that they could ever send this kid back down, right?
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting decision what they do, because essentially, the reason Cantillo was sent down is because they were taxed in the bullpen and they needed another arm to bring up at that point because the starters were not going all that long, and he was just kind of the odd man out with his options. They have to handle their options on the big league level a very different way because Cantillo's already been in AAA, so this is his last option season. Slade Ciccone has not been optioned down because he was in the minors this year to rehab an injury. This technically would be his last option year. And with Parker Messick, do you really want to option him down and burn his first option year this late in the season in his rookie year? And he's still going to qualify as a rookie next year, I believe, at this point. But do you really want to burn that first option year this year? So I'm really curious to see what they do, because Slade Ciccone can't go anywhere because he needs to figure things out at the big league level. I think that's part of why they kept him up in addition to the option thing. And Joey Cantillo, I think he just needs to throw more strikes as well. And they kind of have an idea of who he is already. So it's going to be interesting to see how they handle the options. I personally wouldn't want to burn the option on Parker Messick this year, but we'll see how they want to get through the end of the year at this point.
Justin Latta, Locked On Guardians, joins us on the Fan Hotline. Elsewhere, CJ Cephas's bat surely seems like a welcomed addition in a small sample size here so far. What do you make of what he's been able to do with the big club thus far?
Yeah, he's able to get the ball in the air a lot. He has pretty good at bats, I would say. You know, there is a little bit of chase there. Teams are starting to maybe figure out they can get him with low breaking stuff. So a little bit of chase there, but he does find the barrel a lot. He can get the ball in the air to his pull side, so you're seeing plenty of power so far. I think he'll settle in. The strikeout rate will come down a little bit. He'll walk a little bit more. He hasn't done that a ton yet, but overall I think you have to be impressed by what he's done. He gives you a good quality at bat. He finds a way to plug the gap and get the ball in the air, so I think he's been a much-needed source of pop and just overall a good at bat in the lineup for a kid who, you know, is also a rookie and doesn't look overmatched or phased by the big league environment, the same as Parker Messick.
On the prospect front, Justin, since the last time we talked, Travis Bezzana got the call to Columbus. How's that progressing, and when do you personally anticipate that we could see him up here in Cleveland?
I don't think you're going to see Bezzana this year. I think it's very unlikely. There are like some maybe scenarios where it could make sense, but right now it doesn't seem to, because Cleveland continues to struggle right now and they're falling out of the playoff race a little bit. And I think even if he did miss a, a month or two with the oblique injury, it would have been dictated if he got called up by their place in the standings. But he seems to have this adjustment period everywhere he goes. When he got to Lake County last year coming out of college, there was like a settling in period where he was taking a lot of pitches and he was being, patient, trying to track pitches. And then he would get in a swing mode. He'd be a little bit late on his swings. So he, missed fastballs or he fouled them back. And then in Akron, that's kind of how the season started out for him as well. When he came back from the injury earlier this year in Akron, he started to swing the bat better, was a little bit less passive in his approach. And now that he's up in Columbus, you can see he's taking, four or five pitches in at bat sometimes, and he is running deep counts, but it also kind of puts him in a defensive mode with his swing where he is behind fastballs a little bit. And he's starting to come out of that. He had a double tonight. He hit a ball. He hits the warning track that, I think was 400 feet. So he got around on that one. I think it's just a feeling out period for him, and you'll probably see that at the major leagues when he does get there. But I'd probably bank on next season at this point for Travis.
Are we thinking opening day 2026, or is it just way too early to tell?
I think it's too early to tell. I think he'll get an invite to big league spring training. They still have Juan Brito they got to figure things out with, who, right, is not a great defender at second base, but a decent bat. There's still Rokio and Arias, so it would be ideal for him to start the year with them, because he would have the prospect promotion incentive, where if he wins Rookie of the Year, the Guardians could get a first-round pick in 2027. But I also think they're going to do what's best for him long-term. They're going to do what's best for them long-term, and that might also mean, playing with service time and trying to get that extra year of service out of him too.
Makes sense. Shane Bieber set to start for the Toronto Blue Jays, I believe, Friday. As we sit here kind of debating on if our own season is dead, you think Shane's going to give Toronto a lift this postseason?
Man, he's looked really good in his minor league starts. So I find it pretty probable he's going to. He's looked as good as I think we've seen him in a couple of years. Like, his fastball velocity is pretty consistent. He's finally comfortable throwing a changeup. The breaking stuff looks good. There was points late in Bieber's tenure with Cleveland where he was really heavy on the fastball and cutter. He wasn't throwing the breaking stuff, and he just never had the changeup in front because he didn't feel like he needed it, or he felt like he never had the confidence in what he wanted it to do, and he finally just gave up and decided to try what he had. And yeah, he looks really good, really healthy, really strong. So I would bet on Bieber being a pretty good pickup for Toronto as they head towards the postseason. And I think they're still in first place in the East, so it'll be exciting to watch and see what he can do getting back to the playoffs.
Last one for you, Justin. Appreciate you joining us here on the Fan Hotline. We did the debate last segment before you popped on. If you had to guess tonight, August 20th, you think this Guardian season is dead?
Yeah, if you had to ask me right now, they've lost five of the last six to two teams that are under 500. Even though the Braves, it's all about when you play teams. The Braves have had a really poor season in terms of health and just luck sometimes, but they played them at a time when their lineup was hot, and that's still a very good lineup. Arizona is still a pesky team, so they lost two or three there. It's going to be a last-ditch effort. They play Texas, and they play Kansas City, and they play the White Sox, so they have some time left to dig themselves out with teams in front of them, but they're going to have to get it back on track real soon. I'd say their odds probably dipped pretty low this week after losing the last 5 of 6.
Jeez, it is, hard to see them crawling out from this. The division, at 10.5 games is pretty much curtains. Hopefully they could cling on to some sort of wild card hope. Justin, appreciate you popping on tonight with me, bro.
Hey, thanks for having me. That keeps up good work.
For sure. He is Justin Latta, the host of the Locked On Guardians podcast. You go check that out. Really good stuff on Parker Messick's debut, really good stuff on some of the Guardians young guys, and just this season in its totality. Alrighty, straight ahead, I love doing this segment at 9 p.m. whenever I fill in for Jake Volnick here on The Fan. It's therapeutic for me in a way. We get a grip with myself, Nick Pedone, in 5 minutes. Don't go anywhere.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.